correctly. We're up to the Rama in Sif Dalet. Is that correct, Ari? Okay. Let's say yes. The Rama says in the second half of Sif Dalet, after Noah gave his first Rishon, which I think we already read, he says, V'chol iser shemavatlin b'shishim im makiro tzorech lasiro misham afagav dekarnis batel tamo b'shishim. Right, any iser that's less than a 60th, if you can find it, you have to remove it, even though its tam was already batel b'shishim. Meaning, let's say a bunch of pieces of ham fall into my vegetable soup, and they're less than a 60th, so the tam that comes out of those pieces of ham is much. But the pieces of ham are still treif, the tam is batel b'shishim, but the be'en is still treif. And if I can recognize the ban, then I have to remove it. I can't just eat a piece of ham. The principle being that you have to look at the, we mentioned this, you have to look at the tam and look at the ban. The tam of the ham might be batel shishim, but the ban is not batel. Why? Because it's a principle. Whenever you can find something, it's not batel. And therefore, you have to remove the ham. Okay, that is a no-brainer. And this is pashtus a din da'oraisa. It's a din da'oraisa that a ban is not batel if it is recognizable. Because that's not really ma'uriv. Again, it might be called a tarovus lingin bor and shabbos. That's a totally different unrelated getter. But le'inyan, isra heter hochas tarovos, that's not a tarovus. Okay, if anyone wants to look, we're not getting into this at all now. You know, if you want to see something strange, if you look in the Levush in Orachayim Tafra Islamid Beis, he makes it sound like maybe this is not Asr Midoraisa. But that is a strange shita. It's muskum, like the Gilyam Arsha says, that nira leads me to raisahu. So that is an easy case. Then the Rama continues to another case. Right, so what if you have an isser, right, which is recognizable and removable, that is a no batel min ha-Torah. That's the beginning of this Rama, as the Gilyam Arsha points out here. Nearly to Midoraisu, and pretty much everyone agrees to that, except maybe a funny Levush in Orachaim, Simon 632. The Rama then continues to another case. What's the second case? The Rama, where it's not recognizable. You can't see the be'en of the Yisr, but it is removable. There is a chemical test to remove it. That is, v'lachein, therefore, nafal chelo l'tocha tavsho, v'nisbatal tamo b'shishem, right? So chila falls into your vegetable soup, let's say. And it's less than a 60th. It's not recognizable. You can't see the chila, it's melted in, but it's removable. Why? Because anyone knows, you take your chicken soup, and it's nice and warm. What happens when you put it in the fridge? What happens? The fat congeals on top. So here, there's a way to make the if it's not chilev and shuman, then it's not separable. Let's say it's chilev and vegetable soup. There's a way to get the chilev out, which is to make it congeal on top. And therefore, says the Rama, tzorich lidin shamayim tzonim, you have to put cold water, v'teva chilev l'hak piv l'atzof l'mala, which makes the fat congeal and float on top alamayim, v'yisiren v'sham, and you take it off, d'me'achid efshel asiro, havakil makiro, since it's removable, it's as if it's recognizable, v'tzorich l'asiro m'sham, and you have to remove it. So here we have a case where it's not recognizable, but it is removable. Says the Rama, you have to remove it. Would you think the Rama means you have to remove it midoraisa or midrabanan? What would you think based on this Rama? Is he saying it's midoraisa, not batel, you have to remove it? Because you could remove it? Or it's only midrabanan that the Rama, you have to remove it? What would you think, Pashim Shaman Rama? Because he compares it to the previous case, which is Pashat Midoraisa, like you see the Isser there. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan understands, based on the Rama, that this is a Din D'Oraisa. So the Pashtos of the Rama and the Aruch HaShulchan right here say it's Eino Batel Min HaTorah. Because since it's removable, there's no Din of Bittel of Tarobis when you could remove something. However, the crazy placey here
says no, really it is batal min haTorah. After all, you don't see the chaylev, it looks like one unified soup. Just because there's a trick to remove it, it does not affect the d'oraisa level. The d'oraisa is batal because it's not recognizable. It looks like one big mishmash.
The fact that you have a trick to remove it, that's only a din d'rabbanan, you have to remove it. What? When do we hear the Rabbanim made this rule? This is called Dorash Yin Shlomat Tirin. Meet Rabbanim, they said, don't rely on Bittul if you have another way to matter it.
So, Batul Me'at Torah, the Aser, Meet Rabbanan, Kemo, Dorash Yin Shlomat Tirin. What's the principle of Dorash Yin Shlomat Tirin? The mainstream way of understanding it
is that if there's another way to be matter it, you shouldn't rely on Bittul Baruch.
So here, there's a trick, don't rely on Bittul Baruch, do this trick. But that's only Chomer Meet Rabbanan.
And there's a nafkamina between this. What's the nafkamina between these two opinions? The nafkamina is, if you hold like the pshat or the rachashot, but it's totally asur midoraisa. There's no enter whatsoever.
If you hold like the place you place, it's really batal. Just since you have another option, you have to take the other option.
The nafkamina is, what if you don't have another option? Like, for example,
nafkamina, what if this process would ruin the food?
What if you did this process, it would ruin the food?
Somehow the food's very delicate. If you put the cold water, poured cold water, and made the fat float to the top, it would get ruined. So, according to the Pshash Nomer L'Aruch HaShulchan, it's still usher. Since you could remove it, who cares that it's going to get ruined? Tough luck on you. Midah Raisa, it's not batal. However, according to the Pesach Placing, this is what he himself says, this is why he says it, that no, it's mutter to eat with the chaylev.
Because the rabbanim were gozer, if you can remove the chaylev, you should, but you don't have to. You know, but if you can't, then it's okay. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin like the pshat d'Rabban l'Aruch HaShulchan, that this is a chash d'oraisa. Even though you don't see the chaylev, since you could remove it, it's a chash d'oraisa, and therefore, even if it would ruin your food to remove the chaylev, you have to remove the chaylev and ruin your food, even if you have to feed it to a dog or something, because it's not, it's ma'akev the bittul midoraisa.
How would we take this, does money know would basically anything be removed from anything?
That's a great question. Meaning, there's enough chemical processes nowadays that you can remove anything. So does that mean there's never any bittul nowadays because we have some way of removing everything?
Except for blues. Blues would still be stuck. But other than
right. So, not everything, but many things. So,
look in the chalon, we can get out.
Right. So, l'chora, you'd have to say, and this is going to be much easier. See, according to l'chora, you'd have to say that this only applies to things that can be removed with normal household procedures, not if you need to go to a laboratory. Now, that makes perfect sense according to Grace and Placey. It's only a chomer d'rabbanan to try and be matter if you can. But if you have to go to a laboratory, you can't. According to the Pshat and the Aruch HaShulchan, it's a little tricky. Why distinguish between? Why don't you always have to go to a laboratory and try to sort out the tarovis? Assuming the laboratory could sort it out, which, you know, probably. I don't know if the laboratory could always sort it out. It's a good question. But
there's a lot of things that could.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. We'll have to. That's a sort of that works better for the crazy place because whatever you'd have to spend a ton of money, and that's not practical. Don't receive volunteer is only when it's practical. It's only did rabbanan. According to the Yochas Shofan, that it's d'oraisa you sowed, and then why do you have to go to a library? Why don't you have to go to a laboratory? I don't know. It's hard again. It's a good writer for the crazy place. Or for Asur Mal Tarovas nowadays. Or maybe you're wrong when you're overestimating the ability of the laboratories. I don't know, Tzarchia. Well, I'll leave that at Tzarchia. Maybe the laboratories can't separate them so easily.
Maybe it's dual for food. It's only considered, it's not like that it's not recognizable, but removable. I mean, you can easily make it recognizable. And if it's something that's not easily able to be made recognizable, then it's not considered.
Right, it could be the standard is only removable or recognizable with normal means. Maybe that's what you have to say. Okay, Amoda. I'll just point out two other issues which are not directly in this daf, which are important. Because here we're dealing with, you know, this is a very chumer issue. Forget about all of Tarovis, bittul b'this and bittul b'that number, and this is bottle, isn't bottle.
You know, what's not batel? Because it's not even considered a mixture in the first place, right? There's like the most chumra reason for not being batel, that it's not even mixed. So, another case, what about the flip side of this? What if it is recognizable? But not removable. This is a famous discussion in the Rambam when it comes to Chemas Akum. What if you do see the treif, but it's impossible to remove it for some reason? So this is something we'll come back to. I don't want to get into it now. I'm just going to give you my remakum that this is a discussion in Simen Kuf Dalet and Simen Kuf Tesvav. This is discussed in Simen Kuf Dalet. What if you have something that, like, is recognizable? You have like little pieces. When you find they're recognizable, but it's impossible to remove them all. And when we get there, we'll see that the Taz and others say. Say that that's usur. Since it's recognizable, even if it's too hard to remove, or even practically impossible to remove, that's still considered separate and not mu'ur, can't be batel. This also goes up in Simen Kuf Tesvav in the discussion of Chemas Akum, because apparently there used to be mitzias where the Chemas Akum had little bits of chalav in it that were treif. But you couldn't remove the chalav from the chemas. Somehow they didn't have a good procedure for getting it out. Beis Yosef, or let's say the Rambam, according to most Achronim, and maybe others are matu there. Lemaisa, this is not as common a case, but if you have a case where, let's say, the issur is recognizable, however, you can't get it out, you don't have a procedure for getting it out, then we would also be machber on that. So if it's removable and not recognizable, we would be machber. If it's recognizable and not removable, we would also be machber. The issur that comes up nowadays, mostly in halacha lemaisa, these are not such a big deal, halacha lemaisa, although Ben will ask why. Can I have a volunteer, please? The big discussion nowadays is about bugs. Anyone know like what the big machlokes is, whether you can eat food that's infested with bugs or the bugs are batel? So one of them, one half of the big discussion in Simen Kuf is din birya. Maybe a bug is a whole creature, it's not batel. But some of the echronim start a little earlier, they say. I apologize, I'll have to owe you. They say, forget whether it's a birya or not. Maybe a bug's not even a tarovis. After all, you could remove a bug. It's like this ramah. You just look for it and remove it. So what about bugs? What's unique about the case of bugs? What about the case of bugs? Can you recognize a bug if it's mixed in with a lettuce? Yeah, I mean, you could see the bug. Can you remove the bug? You can. But exactly. What if it is recognizable or removable?
What counts as recognizable?
With difficulty. Meaning, it's not like posh to just see it. But if you look hard enough, if you spend all day long looking for it, you can find it and you can remove it. So is that batel min haTorah? Or is that not batel min haTorah? Either way, midrabanan, it's not batel. If it's a birya, if it's a whole bug, but let's say it's half a bug, just for the sake of argument. So is it batel or not? So this is a big machlokas. If you look at the sheet I handed out from the introduction to Ravaya's book about B'dikas HaMazon, he brings down a machlokas about this. First, he quotes from the, which does he do first? He quotes at the beginning from the Prichadash and the Chachmas Adam that Im Yuchal Lahakir HaIsr Einu Batel Filu BeElef Afilu Al Yidei Torah Gadol. Even if it's very hard, it's not Batel Filu BeElef. He also quotes this in the Chazon Ish. However, on the other hand, he quotes in the Orach HaShulchan and the Tzemach Tzedek. You'll have to read this fully at home, but he says that she'ino nikar klal kiyam al yidei torah gadol, he said batel b'tarovis. Now, of course, the Orach HaShulchan assumes bugs are batel, also assumes. So that's a very difficult question. So says, is it batel? What's the question? We know beer is not batel, but the question is double. It's the same question. Is it batel min ha-Torah? Which is the same exact question as, if it's half a bug, is it batel? Right? Meaning, if it's half a bug, it can be batel. If it's a bug, it's going to be batel min ha-Torah, but midrash rabbanan, there it goes, our beer is not batel. But do we say it's not batel min ha-Torah, or that is batel min ha-Torah, and half a bug is taka batel, or a full bug is only nisra rabbanan? Once only nisra rabbanan, there's a lot more room to remake it. So here he quotes, he's very confused. First he quotes a Pri Chadash and a Chazan Ish, and a Chachmas Adam, really. This is not in chronological order. Who says, Eino batel min ha-Torah. Why? Because you can remove it. Bittel is only things you can't remove. This is Eino batel min ha-Torah. However, then he quotes a Semach Tzedek and an Aruch HaShulchan and many others who say it is batel min ha-Torah. Meaning, if it's half a bug, it's batel gamrei, right? And if it's a full bug, it's batel min ha-Torah. Then you just exer drabanan against the birya. And then you're only dealing with the chashash eser drabanan. So who's right? So he quotes in the last column here, you heard from Shlomo Zalman Orbach and from Rav El Yashiv that b'makom Torah gadol you can be makel. And then it's a pretty big post on the Lichtvish Welt nowadays. And then he said, Chacham Echad suggested to him, which is really Pashup Shad and Chazan Ish, that there might be a difference between two cases. There's a case where it's very hard to find the bug because it's hidden very well. There's a case where it's very easy to find a bug. There's just a lot of them. And therefore, it's hard to find all of them because it takes a long time. So what he suggests in the end, which makes a lot of sense, is that there's really no machlokes. And he said, if each bug is hard to recognize, then it's batel min ha-Torah. But if each bug is easy to recognize, but there is a large quantity, meaning if you look, you see each bug. Just take a few grains and look, and you see it's staring you in the face. It's just it's such a large quantity that it takes a long time to clean it. Then that's Eino Batel Min HaTorah. And what he wanted to suggest at the end is that these poskim aren't really arguing. They're talking about two different cases. If you have a case where you look and look and you need expertise and training and to look at it from 80 different angles in order to see the bug, that's batel min ha-Torah. That's only a shayla of midrabanan. However, if, no, the bug is staring you in the face, right? You take like 10 grains of rice and the bug is staring you in the face. The only problem is there's a million grains of rice and it would take a long time to go through them, then that's not batel min ha-Torah. The fact that it takes a long time to go through them, it doesn't matter. If you look for them, they're right there, and that can't be called a tarumis, that's called you can remove it. It just would take you a long time because of the quantity, but not because it's mixed so well, because of the quantity. And therefore, I know that there are kashrus agencies nowadays who paskin based on this. Like, for example, there are kashrus agencies who says, bugs on the lettuce, or if you just look, you see them. Okay, it's just a tircha to look through each piece of lettuce. Those are not batel min ha-Torah. Those are nisa d'oraisa. Bugs in the broccoli, which even if you look, you can't really see, because they're hiding, those are only an issur d'rabbanan, because birya ain't a batel, but min ha-Torah, they are batel. Based on this chiluk, which is maskana, so again, this is where the real action is. The real action is not so much in case of the Ramah and other weird cases of the kind of chema they used to have in the Rambam, look in there, and Hilchos Machlokes Suras, Simon Kuf Tesvah, the Reish Yosef has a long discussion, of cases where it's theoretically you can find it or you can't find it. The real halacha l'maisa is cases where theoretically you could take out the bugs and you could find the bugs. It just would be very, very hard. And l'maisa, it seems to be like the Poshup Shot and the Chazan Ish, that it depends why it would be hard. If we have very hard, the bugs are so well hidden, then midoraisa, that's batel. It's only midrabanan
that they're not bottle if it's a full pot. However, if it's very easy to find each bud in each part of the fruit, it's just hard to check a large quantity, then even midar raisa, that's not considered bottle, and that's bechlal ramah here, that if you can refine the iser and remove it, then it's not bottle, even midar raisa. If you have a large quantity, then okay, you just have to spend a long time looking for them. Okay, so that's a bit of a tangent based on the discussion of this ramah, but this is very nogi halakha maisa, as you can imagine. If you're talking about Hilchos Tolaim, if you start with the fact that Midor Raisa is not Batal, and this is Midor Raisa, basically, it's going to be hard to find any sub Lahakel. If you start with Midor Raisa is Batal Taka, the only question is, what about Midrabanan, that there goes a Birya Ina B'Teva? Then we'll get to some Kaf, we'll see that there are many who find Stad Lahakel, because after all, we're only dealing with an Issa Drabanan. Okay, and we'll return to that in Siman Kuf. I just wanted to show you, where what concept this is based on. Let us, before we continue in the Ramah, mention one last thing, which is the famous machlokes between everyone and the Bach about this procedure of causing the chilo to congeal. What's the famous machlokes? Everyone and the Bach. There are two cases. One is where the chilev is less than 1/60th. Then everyone agrees you have to make it congeal and peel it off. But what about the case where the chelev is more than 1/60th? What if the chelev is more than 1/60th? I mean, everyone agrees there's a chumrah. If the chelev is 1%, you still have to put the cold water and make it float on top. Okay, but the chumrah is the rice, the rabbanon is the machlokes achronim. What about a kula? What if the chilev is 2%? But can you say, if I remove it, then I removed it from the tarovas? Basically, the question is, does this trick really get rid of all the chilev from the tarovas? So says the hagos iser v'heter, meaning the hagos on the sefer iser v'heter, and the bach, that make it congeal, and the soup is mutter because you removed the chalev. The Bach in the Hagos Isser Heter says, you can remove the chalev. You can, this is a great trick. Even though it's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10%, you do this trick, you remove the chalev, and now there's no treif left anymore. However, that's not what it sounds like for the Ramah. The Ramah says clearly that only if it was less than 1/60th, and this is what the Taz and the Shach both agree with, and they point out the Isra Heter himself also is Mekel on this, and yeah. So here we have the Ramah and the Isser V'Heter himself and the Shach and the Taz. They all say it's Aser. There's no way to save it. This trick, you can't rely on this trick Lekula to get out all the Chelev. Why? So it's not so clear, but at least one way of understanding it. Why can't I remove the Chelev and Kedmoter? So at least one way of understanding it is because even if you remove the chelev and using this trick, the ta'am of the chelev stays in your soup. Meaning, you can remove the be'en by this trick making congeal, but it's too late. It already gave ta'am to your soup. And that ta'am you can't remove. So this trick gets rid of the end, but doesn't get rid of the tam. Therefore, if the tam is batal b'shishim, just get rid of the end. But if the tam was more than 1/60th, then it already made your soup treif by giving a tam. If you remove the end, it won't help, because you still have tam of treif in your soup. Okay, we'll leave it at that. End of the Ramah says, ishish is batal b'dir v'sirum misham enough l'dir acheres. So if, let's say, a piece of ham falls into one of kedera, and I take it out, it falls into a second of kedera, ham falls into one pot. And let's say it was a 10-ounce ham in a 600-ounce pot. So it was both b'shishim. Then it falls into a second pot. a 500-ounce pot. The second pot is treif, because it's only 500 to 10. That's 50-to-1 ratio. Ah, don't we say all the tam of the ham came out of the first pot and there's no tam left for the second pot? The answer is no. We assume each time the ham falls in, we assume that's the time that all the tam might have come out. Since this is similar to the idea of Mesharim Bakul, might nothing no longer dinam. But this is the rule of Tarobis. This is an unwritten rule of Hilchos Tarobis. We have no Mesorah when you mix Isser V'Heter with heat as to exactly what moment how much of the tam will transfer. And therefore, we always assume the worst case scenario. So we always assume the tam comes out right now. So when it falls into the first pot, we say maybe all the tam came out in the first pot. And if it's not 60 times, it's treif. But if it fell into the first pot and then into the second pot, we say maybe none of the tam went into the first pot, only into the second pot. And therefore, you need 60 in the second pot, v'chein, and on and on, ad infinitum. Yeah?
In terms of like the time, removing the in to the time still remains, what's the difference in that case? And when we have bleos, when we have no way of Mishire or bleos. So in this case, we know what way of Mishire time. Are you in that case?
So we have to Mishire time, can I get kulo? If there was 1 ounce of chelov, you have to assume there's 1 ounce of time.
So once you remove the but with the
even if you remove the chelov, you have to assume that there's 1 ounce of time left.
Once you remove the actual bein, you can be marvel alav and then you can be matir. Like
no, because you're not allowed to. Yeah, once there was zus, you can't be marvel.
That involves
yes, correct. Okay. Ava, continue. Ava, nafal k'di rishon shnei pa'amim ein tzarich rach shishim echad kenegdo v'ayin lelsim tzadik dalad. Remember, we had this with a spoon, right? So what's the case? Let's just review. Here's 1 o'clock, and here's 2 o'clock. So 1 o'clock, you have ham into Kedera A and into Kedera B. What's the halacha?
Both are.
You need shishim in the first case, because maybe the tam went there, and you need shishim in the second case, because maybe the tam only went into the second case. But if it fell into Kedera A, and then again into the same Kedera A, then the first time you need 60, and the second time you still need only 60, like we saw we passed in by the spoons. Why? Very simply at the first glance. Because either the tam went out the first time or the second time. The tam couldn't have gone out both the first time and the second time. There's only 10 ounces of tam in it. Right? It's only one piece. So whatever tam went out the first time didn't go out the second time. Whatever tam went out the second time didn't go out the first time. And therefore, let's say it's 10 to 600, it's mutter. Because if 5 went out the first time, only 5 could go out the last time. If 7 went out the first time, only 3 could go out the last time. If 2 went out the first time, only 8 could go out the last time. You can't have more than 10 ounces of tam going out. And if you'll ask, I know the tam of the ham itself is going to be batel b'shishim, no matter how many times it falls into the same kedera. But what about chanan? Maybe first 9 ounces of tam went out. And then it absorbed 9 ounces of vegetable soup. And then that became chanan. And the next time, 10 ounces of chanan taste go in. So why don't we need to be vatel the chanan? So the answer is, the Gruss says here, we mentioned this earlier, that the chanan taste is only min demino. Right? Meaning, what did the Gruss say here? So cut and chaf about this case. It says, what's the worst that can happen? Worst case scenario is that at 1 o'clock, right, 9.8 ounces of ham taste go into the soup, and 9.8 ounces of soup go into the ham and become chanan. And then at 2 o'clock, 10 ounces of chanan soup go into the soup. Right. So basically you have 20 ounces. So why don't you need 60 times 20 ounces? So this first came almost 10 ounces of ham, and then 10 ounces of soup with a little ham in it that's chanan. So the answer is because this is
min b'she'eno mino. But this is min b'mino. You can't have more than 10 min b'she'eno mino, because there isn't more than 10 ounces of ham taste. The only way you get more than 10 is by chanaming the soup and putting it back inside itself, which is min b'mino. And, says the Gra, even though there are gozer shishima min b'mino, they were only gozer shishima min b'mino on a regular case of min b'mino. We're like Isser falls into Heter. But in this Hanan case of dipping things multiple times, they were not gozer the gzera d'rabbanan. Remember, we said min b'mino is only min d'rabbanan. They were not gozer d'rabbanan of min b'mino. V'lo gozru v'chi ha'gavna. Why were that gozer the d'rabbanan min b'mino? We already explained this in Simon Sadi Dalid, if you recall. Because when were they gozer? If trace vegetables fall into my vegetable soup. There goes there any shishim, ato mim she'en amino, ato ham falling into my vegetable soup. But there only goes there min b'mino in a case that could easily be confused with mim she'en amino. But in this case, when I dip the same thing into my soup twice, and like through Hanan it makes a bliya of min b'mino, that could never be confused with mim she'en amino, because there's no parallel case. What's the case? I dip it in many times and cause a lot of Hanan min b'mino to go in. There's no case where I could dip it in many times and cause a lot of mim she'en amino to go in. Because the mim she'en amino can only go once. It can't go many times. And therefore, they weren't gozer on this weird case of mim b'mino. That's Pshat in the Gra, and that's Pashim Shad. That's what the Gra says in Simchat Mechach and Pashim Shad in the Ramah. Okay, if you want to be clever, you can find other Pshat in the Ramah, but I'll leave that for yourself. Or maybe look in the Bani Shalom, maybe there's other Pshat, I don't know. Okay, let's move to Hey. Chazki, I'm going to need your help. Okay.
That's
better. Ooh, okay. Sifhei. Sifhei is talking about Hanan in Blios. Says the Mechaber. Im yadua kama hu ha'isser, if you know how much isser is in your pot or your spoon. Kigo. Hap kadosh roshen bais yoma, such as a new spoon or ainu ben yoma spoon. Ainu ben yoma might as well be new for all halachic purposes. At least b'dievet. Right? Because whatever bli in there is tam of gam, it doesn't count for anything. A shenir ba ubalak zayis chalav, v'acharkach nir ba kedira shel basar. If you stirred and absorbed the zayis of milk, and then you stirred a pot of meat, ain't zarech l'shizma l'avim zayis habala. You don't need 60 times the whole spoon. You only need 60 times the zayis of the milk that it absorbed. Why? Says the Ramah, reading it the way the Taz says to read it properly. V'lo amrinin gabe kli chaticha nasas devela kul nir bo iser. Because we never say the kli itself is chanan. You have a new spoon. You stir one ounce of chalav. Well, obviously no chanan, because chalav is not treif. But even if you stir chalav or chazer or something, you never say chanan in the kli itself, because the kli is not a food and it can't become chanan. Continuing. Avol kaf yishano bas yoma misharin bekula. But an old ben yomo spoon, you're mishar with all of it. What does Mishar with all of it mean? So says the Ramah, and this is clearly pshat based on the context of the next line, what this means is, even if it's obvious, let's say the spoon was 10 ounces and you stirred a gazillion ounces of milk. Obviously Mishar can get the whole spoon, you don't know how much it absorbed. Let's say the spoon's 10 ounces and you stirred a gazillion ounces of pork. Obviously Mishar can get the whole spoon. What's the chiddush? Let's say this spoon stirred a lot of vegetables, and then an ounce of pork. The ounce of pork makes all the vegetable blios chanan, and you have mishar k'neged the whole spoon. Let's say the spoon stirred a lot of meat, and then 1 ounce of milk. The milk makes the meat blios chanan, and you have to mishar k'neged all the blios. Remember those weird cases of the teapot from the Tzadi Beis? The blios in a pot can become chanan. And that's what the Ramah says. Dukoma shabola nasa iser v'lo yodim kama bola. Because whatever it's bola becomes iser, and you don't know what it's bolea. Some people say, even in this case, you only need shishim connected to gezayis that is voleya. Who's this yesh omer? It's the famous sheet of Ramban that there's no chanan in blios. Is what the Ramban is saying so far. Everyone agrees the kli itself can't become chanan if it's a new kli. But if the kli is full of blios, the blios can't become chanan according to the first daya. But according to the second daya, the Blios and the Kli cannot become Chanan. Okay, we're going to put this on the board to illustrate it. Says Ramah, Basvar, Rishona, Iker, Kamoshin, Sbar, Le'elgar, B'tibas, Chalosh, Shanafa, Al, Hak, Deira. And the first Svar is Iker, that there is Chanan in Blios, as we explained earlier in Siman Tzadi Beis by the famous problem Latipa was just that it made all the Blios Chana. Let us just make sure that we're on the same page and we're not going to get confused at all before we even see the Mordechai. Okay? Who's ready to think a little? Not a lot, just a little. Okay, you're ready to think a little. Great. Ben's ready. Always ready to think a little. He even raised his hand. Okay. Let me ask you the following question. Is this a Shiloh of Hanan? What kind of Shiloh of Hanan? Etc. Let's say I have a spoon. How much do I need to be Mavato this spoon? What if I have a new spoon or old Eino Ben Yomo spoon, which is the same thing for our purposes, right? And I used it to stir, and I stir Kezias Cholov, and then I stir a pot of meat. How much do I need to mevatel this spoon?
60.
Does this have to do with any sugyas of Chanan? No, because Cholov is mutter, right? This spoon is a mutter milchik spoon so far. There's no shayla of Chanan and a mutter spoon. But let's say this case. Let's say I have a... a used Ben Yomo spoon. What do I mean by that? Meaning, I stirred much chalav or chalev in the last 24 hours. Okay, what would you say about this case? How much do I need to mevatel it? Oh, I didn't say how big the spoon is. Right? Spoon is, let's say, 10 kazasin. That's how big the spoon is. What would you say in this case? It's that I stirred a lot of chalev or a lot of chalev. Tons.
You need 600.
I partially need 600. This is not a shayla of Chanan either. This is just a shayla of Misharin Bekulo, Deibamai Denavmi, Lo Yadinan. Remember, there was that weird Raivit who said, well, in any kashrable kli, you're not Misharin Bekulo. You just make an umdun of how much Blios it has. But we don't pass. Then we even pass in since we don't know how much Bolo. So these are not interesting cases. What are the interesting cases? The interesting cases is this. What about a used Ben Yomo spoon, meaning I stirred much meat in the last 24 hours, and then I stirred Kezias Cholov, or Kezias Chelov. What about this case? I stirred a lot of meat, and then all within the same 24 hours, I stirred one Kezias of Chelov, or one Kezias of Cholov, and then I stirred another pot of meat. How much do I need now to mevatel it? That should be the machlokas, whether there is Chanan in? Okay, but how about the Kezias Cholov? Chanan in? Blios. This is the machlokas about Chanan in Blios. Right? This is the machlokas about Chanan in Blios. This is the machlokas. Right? Ha'im Omrim Chanan Biblios. Right? Meaning it's full of Blios. But does the Kezias Cholov make those Blios Chanan or not? And according to Ashkenazim, does the Kezias Cholov make the Blios Chanan or not? Obviously, we'll say it makes a difference. So the answer is that there are two opinions of this, right? Says the Rashba, which is the first day, right? Which is the first day. He says, Yesh Chanan Biblios. And therefore, I need 600. Because all the Blios became Chanan. Says the Ramban. Rashba, very shonim. This is in Tzadi Beis, as the Ramah points out, right? All the Rishonim Tzadi Beis. Says the Ramban, which is the second day in the Mechaber, he says, Ein Chanan Biblios. And he says, I only need 60. What about the following case? Last case. I have a new spoon or an old Eino Ben Yomo spoon. And what did I stir? I stirred only Kizayis Chalev. Only a Kizayis of Chalev or a Kizayis of Basar Bechalev. Right? Just a Kizayis of Chalev or a Kizayis of Basar Bechalev. Now, how many do I need connected that spoon when I stir my pot of meat? Because, what would we call this, Sugya? This is the question. What's the question here?
Is this the first case?
No, because the first case I stirred Cholov, there was no treif. Right? This is Ha'im Omrim, exactly, Hanan Bikli Atzmo. And all the shittas we've seen say, what's the answer? No. Except maybe the Mordechai, right? So, all the shittas we've seen, Rove, and maybe all the Rishonim say, Ein Chanan B'Kli Atzmo. If you remember, even Tzimin Tzadi Beis Dharma says, no Chanan in the Kli itself, so you only need 60. If there would be a shita that would say Chanan B'Kli Atzmo, then you would need 600, because the Kli Atzmo would be Chanan, right? Right? In Tintzalomer, Sheyesh Manda Omar Chanan B'Kli Atzmo, you would need 600. But we're not even sure if any Rishon ever says this, right? We'll see. That's Machlokes what the Mordechai said. So now, let us just figure out what the Mordechai says, and then we're done. Says the Rama, quoting a Mordechai. V'yei she'ena nechalke min kav yosh on the chadash. Some people do not distinguish between a new and old spoon. Hold on. If you don't distinguish between a new and old spoon, that means you don't distinguish between Chanan and Blios and Chanan and the Kli itself. Right? You think there's Chanan and the Kli itself just as much as there's Chanan and Blios. Rather, what do they distinguish? Rak bein Kli Cheres l'shar Kelim. They distinguish between Kli Cheres and other Kelim. What's the difference between a Kli Cheres and other Kelim? Kli Cheres, you can't kasher. Other Kelim, you can. Right? V'omrin, the Kli Cheres, the EF shall hafer to Israel, yagola, omer, a Kli nastavela. In Kli Cheres, where you can't kasher to a gola, we say the Kli itself, even a new Kli, is nastavela. Right? V'yei she'ein mechalkin between these two cases. And they say, either there's Chanan and a Kli with or without Plios, or there's a Chanan with or without Plios. And what do they say? In a Kli, Cheres is Chanan even without Plios. The Kli itself is not available. Lo b'shar Kalim, but in other Kalim, even with Plios, there's no Chanan. The Tov Lachosh L'chumra, meaning we don't pass in like that weird Mordechai, right? The parentheses say it's a Mordechai, yes, Mordechai, but it's a proper Chumra to be Choshesh for the Chumras of the Mordechai. So let's see, what's the sheet of the Mordechai? What is the sheet of the Mordechai? He's clearly mechalik between Cheres and Shar Kelim. Question is, what does he hold about Cheres and what does he hold about Shar Kelim? So what does the Ramah say? Here's the Mordechai. He is mechalik between Cheres and Shar Kelim. What does the Ramah say? First shot of the Mordechai is the Ramah. He says, in Cheres there's Chanan B'Kli Atzmo. And in Shar Kelim, Ein Chanan Afilu B'Blios. Right? It makes no difference if it's full of Blios or not. There's no difference between if it was full of Blios and then you stirred Chalev, or if it was empty and then you stirred Chalev. In Kli Cheres, the Kli itself is Chanan. And in other Kelim, even the Blios inside the Kli are not Chanan. Okay. Do other Achronah have a different shot in the Mordechai? The Mordechai is not so clear. He doesn't say what the Ramah calls him to say. He just says it's between Cheres and Shar Kelim. What do other Achronah say the Ramah that Mordechai meant? Anyone? There's a taz and a shach. Anyone want to help me out here? I told you have to think a little.
They say that if there had really been a new spoon, then you definitely don't go after the whole kli. Then it's like only.
Who says that?
The shach.
Exactly. Says the shach. Says the Shach, no. Says the Shach, what are you smoking?
Of course the Kli itself can't become Chanan. It's not a food, it's just a Kli.
Of course a Kli Chadosh, a new Kli. There's never Chanan b'Kli Atzmo. That's not the distinction of the Mordechai. What's the distinction of the Mordechai? The distinction of the Mordechai is that in Cheres there is Chanan in the Blios, and in other Kalim there's no Chanan in the Blios. And the Taz has the third pshat. What's the Taz pshat of the Mordechai? There's only one logical possibility left, so you can figure it out even without knowing the Taz. Says the Taz and the Mordechai, no, of course we do say Chanan in Blios. We always say Chanan in Blios. What's in Cheres and something else? In Cheres, we say Chanan Bikli Atzmo. And in Shar Kalim, we don't say Chanan Bikli Atzmo. Meaning, if you compare the Mordechai to the Rashba, is he being more machmer, meaning the first day in the Mechaber, more machmer than the Rashba, or more makel than the Rashba, or both?
According to the Taz?
Okay. Compared to the first opinion, right? Remember, the Rambam says we cast like the first opinion. According to the Taz, of course there's Chanan Blios. Just the Cheres also is Chanan Kli Atzmo. He is more machmir, but according to the Shach, of course, not Chanan Kli Atzmo. What I want to say is in metal pots, there's not even Chanan and Blios. Basically, he's saying old Sadi Beis is only in the old days they had Cheres pots. Nowadays, metal pots, no Chanan and Blios.
More
Makel. And according to the Ramah, both, as he says, right? He's more Macher and more Makel. Right? That's three ways of interpreting the Mordechai. Okay, Lemaisa, which way of interpreting the Mordechai do we accept? We really accept the Shach's way of interpreting the Mordechai, because the later Achronim agree with the Shach that it's not mistabber that any Rishonim held there's Chanan in the Kli itself. That's too weird. It must be that he's just Mechal in terms of Chanan Bablio. So is there a Manda Omer that there's Chanan in the Kli itself? Is there such a Manda Omer? So, is there such a Manda Omer? Is there? So the Shach says no. The Taz says, yeah, the Mordechai is that Manda Omer. And the Ramah says, the Mordechai is that Manda Omer, but only in Kli Cheres. Right, the Taz says, yeah, the Mordechai hold. Oh, did I get that wrong? No, I get that wrong, sorry. The Shach says there is no such Manda Omer. No one could possibly hold such a crazy thing. The Mordechai and the Ramah and the Taz say, yeah, the Mordechai holds that about Kli Cheres. That's what the Mordechai holds about Kli Cheres.
Do we hold this Mordechai?
So, we hold like the Shach, and we hold like the Shach, that the Mordechai was not coming to be Machmer and say Chanan b'Kli Atzmo at all. He was only coming to be Makel and say that there's not even Chanan in the Blios if you're talking about metal Kalim like we use nowadays. But then no one held Chanan b'Kli Atzmo. The later Achronim just think that's too weird to say Chanan b'Kli Atzmo. It's enough to say Chanan in the Blios of the Kalim. And even that, the Ramban says there's no Chanan in Blios, the Rashba says there is, and the Mordechai says there is in a Kli Cheres and not in a metal pot.
Doesn't the Shach understand the Ramban to be like him also, or is that like...
Really? Where?
When he includes from the Torah's top, yes. Yes, it is. Look on Mako Mira Jach, Kamar Haki, Kamar Kli Chadash, Afilu Shachar. Right, isn't like he talking about the Ramban?
That's the Torah's Chadash! But that's definitely not the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch. You're right, it goes to Marshal like him, it goes to Joris Chata, sounds like him, but the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch clearly doesn't mean that. It would not be the first, or tenth, or hundredth time that the Ramah and the Mapa is not the same as the Ramah and the Joris Chata.
Okay.
Meaning, that's not a kasha, if the Ramah says different things in the two books. Okay, now let's just get down to Halacha Lemaisa. Right, and just remember, This is what the Shach reminds them to cut a base. If something just absorbs milk or just absorbs meat, there's no Shailu Chanan at all, because I've told you a million times, if something's not usser, you can't have Chanan. Okay, let us just review the Halacha L'maisa then. Okay, what's the Halacha L'maisa of... of Chanan B'Kelim. Right, there are, and this is just going to be a logical review of what I've already said. As a matter of fact, well, here's a good idea. I'm going to make you fill in this chart. Ready? Okay. Okay, so one person's ready. Here is Cheres. Let's see if we have room for a nice chart. Cheres, Shar Kelim. And here we have Kli Yashan, which means another way of saying Chanan Biblios. And here we have Kli Chadash, which is this case, which is another way of saying Chanan B'Kli Atzmo. This is going to be shmizy, because I'm just asking you to take what's already on the board and put it back on the board. Right? Let me ask you the following question. Okay. All I want to know is what the first day in the Mechaber would say, what the second day in the Mechaber would say, and what the Mordechai would say about each of these cases. First case.
Mordechai according to the Shach?
According to everyone. Right? Do I discriminate? First case. Okay. According to the first day in the Mechaber, which is the Rashba, what would we say? 60 or 600, or Usser or Mutter. What? Usser. Because he holds that there's Chanan and Blios. How about according to the second day in the Mechaber? Mutter, because there's no Chanan and Blios. How about the Mordechai?
So it depends.
Okay, tell me how it depends.
You go hold according to the Rambam, then there is mid for sure. Awesome.
Okay, and if you hold according to the
Shah, then
it's Osir, and if you hold according to the Taz, it's Osir according to everyone. Right, Shalom Al Yisrael. Okay, how do we paskin in this case? Well, this is pretty easy. The Rambam says that the Ikar we hold like the first day in the Mechaber. Then he quotes Mordechai to be a little more machmir, but not to be makel. The Mordechai is the same anyway. So Pashut, we paskin, Aser, Shalom Al Yisrael. Not that this happens nowadays because we don't cook in Klicheres. But Lu Yitzuyar. What?
Crockpot
maybe. Okay, good point. We do cook in Klicheres. Silly me. Okay, let's go to the other case. How about if it would be Shar Kelim? Now, for who does it make no difference between Cheres and Shar Kelim?
The Mechaber.
The Mechaber. So what would the first day say?
Sur.
And what would the second day say?
Sur.
Mutter. And here, what would the Mordechai say?
Now we're going to depend on.
Yeah.
Now it depends, right?
Ramah would say Mutter.
The Ramah would say, there's no difference between Cheres and Shar Kelim. No, sorry. Ramah would say Mutter. In the Chag. Ramah would say Mutter. Good. Ramah would say Mutter. Absolutely. And who else would say Mutter?
Shah and the Taz would say Taz.
Exactly. The Ramah and Shah would say the Mordechai is Matir. And the Taz would say the Mordechai Asers, because in Blios, there's no difference. He only differentiated Kli Atzmo. How do we paskin in this case? This is a little trickier because you would think, well, the first day of the Mechaber is Iker, it's Asser. And the Mordechai, according to the Ramban, the Shach more Mekel, but who says we use the Kula as the Mordechai? Here it's not so Pasha, but if you look in the Shach, says the Shach, that you do have Tutzdan and Lahakel, right? The Ramban and the Mordechai. So therefore, exactly says the Shach, based on these Tutzdan Lahakel, Mekilim, Bimakom,
have said Merubah. Mamakam has Merubah, you toot song lachel Rambam, which is the second day of the Mechaber, the Mordechai. At least the Rambam and Shach's version of the Mordechai. And therefore, even though it doesn't make a cool Gemurah, Mamakam has said Merubah, it is enough grounds to be Makel. It's enough grounds to be Makel. Great. Now let's go to the Kli itself. So, what would you say in this case? What do the Mechaber think about the Kli itself? Right. He would say Mutter. And both days in the Mechaber would say Mutter, because as the Rambam explains, both days in the Mechaber holds there's no problem with Kli itself. How about the Mordechai? What would he say?
Depends. According to the Rambam, the Taz is Aser. According to the Shach, it's
Mutter. Aser, right, because the Rambam... And according to the Shach, it's Mutter, because no one would ever say in the Kli itself. How do we paskin? In this case, the Shach says, we like the Shach's version of the Mordechai, and anyway, that fits the Mechaber, so I'm just circling randomly. I could have circled anyone. We say Mutter. Okay, last case. This,
everyone will agree.
Exactly. Everyone agrees this is Mutter, right? Because both days of the Mechaber say there's no Hanan the Kli Atzmo, and the Mordechai at least admits in Shar Kalim. So then, this is a no-brainer. Of course, it is Mutter. Okay, so far so good. What have we seen then? That when it comes to Hanan in Kalim, the Kli itself were Makel. Forget that possible Mordechai. The Blios in the Kli were Machmer, unlike in Siman Sadi Beis. If it's Kli Cheres or Achor Legamre, if it's other Kalim, Makom have some Merubah, but there's room to be Makel. Bitzeruf, the Mordechai, at least everyone but the Taz version of the Mordechai, and the Ramban. Now, here we go back to what I think Ben mentioned before. Yeah.
What's very machad between Cheres and other Kalim by whether Shkhan and the Blios themselves?
That is a great question. So, on the, to not answer your question, the Svara is that's the Shach's Chalukah, and that has a certain authority.
But that's not really, because you asked what's the Svara. You didn't ask what's the authority.
What's the Svara to me, Michalik? So here it gets very tricky, because I will say, well, because in Kli Cheres you can't separate it. It's stuck together forever, so it's Hanan. But in other Kalim you can't separate it through Hagalah. And Ari will say back to me, yeah, you can separate the Blios from the Kli through Hagalah, but you can't separate the Chela Blios from the Ba'af and the Shuman Blios through Hagalah. Either way, you can't separate out the Blios. So, B'dochak, I will have to answer on behalf of the Shach, and we'll rely on this for Hefzad Ruba, even though it's Dachuk, because I'm sure the Shach could have said in a way that wasn't Dachuk. You have to say that in Shar Kalim, since I could get the Blios out of the Kli, even though I can't separate this half of the Blios from that half of the Blios, since they can take the Blios out from this their concrete substance, therefore, they can't get Hanan because they are not fixed to a particular substance in the long term, and you can't say Hanan unless something is affixed in a particular substance. Is that what you wanted to say?
It's better than I wanted to say, so.
Okay, good.
Ignore me.
Okay, great. No problem. I can handle that. Now, of course, can anyone think of, basically, we said that this case is Mutter, and this case, Tak is usually Usser. But, Ben would say, maybe it makes a difference whether it's Chalav or Chalav. Because after all, if it was Chalav, what other Tzeruf do we have? Which is who? Rabbeinu Ephraim, right? So, here's an interesting question. This is all Hanan b'Kalim b'Basar b'Chalav. But what about Hanan b'Kalim b'Shar Isurim? So if it's a Kli Chadash, Pashit Mutter, right? Shari Surah, maybe it's Makel Basar B'Chalav. What is a Kli Yashan? Hanan and Blios. Then what do we have here? We were Machmir here, right? We're only Makel Hefzad Merubah, but here we have a good Tzeruf. We have a Tzeruf of Aleph, the Ramban, which is the second day in the Mechaber, who says there's no Hanan and Blios, and Beis, Rabbeinu Ephraim, who says there's no Hanan and Basar B'Chalav. How much is that Seiruf worth? It's a good question. That's a pretty, that's one day, that Rabbeinu Ephraim is talking the day of the Mechaber. Just Ashkenaz no hold for it. Plus the second day of the Mechaber, the Ramban. Is that Seiruf worth Hefzad Merubah, like the Seiruf of the Mordechai in the Ramban? Or is that Seraph worth more than the Seraph of the Mordechai and the Ramban? Okay, that's not a question we can answer logically. That's a question you have to go to authority. Says the Shas of Katan, Yud Ches, together with, you notice there's a Gilyan Marsha in him who makes a Mokhra Ha'ara, says the Shach, what did I just say? Sivkat and Yud Ches? Mutter b'makom hefsid, even if it's not Merubah, even if it's hefsid katas. How do we know? The Shach says mutter b'makom hefsid doesn't say Merubah. How do we know it doesn't mean Merubah? Because this case is because b'makom hefsid Merubah, we're makil a lach b'lach anyway. And this case is similar to lach b'lach because since there's only plios making other plios, chanan, that's like lach b'lach. So b'makom lach b'liam lach b'lach b'shari sur making b'makom hefsid Merubah even on foods. So on Kalem must be meant to be making more, says the Gilim Rasha, even Mokum Hefzim Tzas, this is such a strong Seiref, the Ramban plus Rabbein Ephraim, plus you should really add the right here, Mordechai, there's no Hanan and Lach B'Lach, because remember, it's only the Blios and the Blios, not the Blios and the Kli, Blios and Blios are Lach B'Lach, therefore even Mokum Hefzim Tzas, which means Halacha L'maisa, if you have a Shaiwa of Hanan B'Kalem, if it's a Kli Chadash, don't worry about it. If it's a Kli Yashan, if it's Bas B'Chalav, it's generally Usher with a limited Heter. But if it's Shari Surin, even if it's a Hefzik Tzas, you don't have to worry about it. There's ample room to be Mekel. Again, not if you if it's perfectly fine. If it's, Dvarm Shalmah B'Kach, then we'd be Machmer. But assuming it's a Hefzik, even not a big Hefzik, you're not losing $200. You're just losing $15. That's a Hefzik Tzas. No one's going to go broke. It's not going to ruin your life, but it's still money, and therefore you can be Mako. Okay, that's the bottom line halacha maisa from Sif Hey. If there's any other questions, we'll go on to Sif Vav. Says Sif Vav. Here we get a little more easy going for two sifim. Kechati zay shel isur shenasar behetar sor shishim chatzoy zay se hetar levatlo. Okay, if you have half a kezayis of isur gets mixed in, even though half a kezayis is not Chayiv Malkus, you still need 60 half kazayis to vatal it. Meaning the rule of Vitel Shishim applies even to half a kazayis. The Gemara, why does he bring this down? Because the Gemara had a Havamina, I forget who it was, to be Makel. And so he's saying, no, you should be Makel for two reasons. Number one, even if a Chatzi Zayis only is a Rabbanan, you still need Shishim. Number two, half a Zayis is Asur D'Oraisa. We Paskin, Pashli Kashir is Asur D'Oraisa. Like Rav Yochanan in the beginning of the 8th parak of Yom, the Chatzis Shir Asur Minat Torah. So the Taz points out, so therefore, whether you have a full Shir of Isser or less than a Shir of Isser, you still need 60. Zayin, Beitza Sheish Baraforach Otipas Dam Shinis Bashle Machiros. Beitza, here it's interesting, he doesn't talk about an egg of a treif bird. Because an egg of a treif bird, an egg itself doesn't have a strong taste. The Gemara says it really doesn't have much of any taste. But here we're talking about an egg with a chicken inside it, which has a strong taste. How do you know an egg has a chicken inside it? Either you see a chicken inside it when you crack it open, or you see a drop of blood. In the old days, when the eggs were fertilized, if you saw a drop of blood, you'd have to be choshesh that it came from the embryonic development of a chick. Right? If you see blood in eggs, there could be for one of two reasons. It could just be random, or it could be from an embryonic chick that developed and did not fully develop. So we have to be choshesh in the old days when the eggs were from hens that had intercourse with roosters. Not nowadays, they're locked up in cages and everyone's worried about their, the tzar bali chayim, etc. Which is worth worrying about, but not our topic now. But in the old days when, the hens just like wander around the yard, like in the ayin nowadays. And if there's a rooster there, then they do what? Mitsuya and Katarna Golub. It's just an example of Yishuv Kafri. It just happens to be the closest place to my house where people have chickens in their backyards and live more old-fashioned, back-to-the-earth lifestyle, which is very beautiful in many ways. Or any other place where they raise free-range, right? It's called free-range. Free-range eggs, if you buy free-range eggs, some people are machmir, not organic. Free-range eggs means the eggs come from hens that live the old-fashioned way. They just wander around the yard. They're not like in factories in cages. So if you buy free-range eggs and you find a drop of blood, you have to be choshesh. That's from an embryonic chick, and you're dealing with mamish treif animal. So if you have an egg of those two types, which is mamish treif animal, tzara shishma achas levatel plitasa, you need 61 to be levatel the taste that comes out of that egg. So for example, if you cook a whole bunch of eggs and one of them is treif, it's not enough to have 60 plus the treif one. You need 61 plus the treif one. This is the mirror image of what kula? Does this remind us of? Kal needs 59 plus itself. This needs 61 plus itself. Why? So this is a famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. I can erase the board, right, Zev? Okay. This is a famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba, which has to do with the very first lamdus we said in Simen Sadiches. Why do we say Beitza is bottle in 61? Why does the Rashba say? What does the Rambam say? So the notes can explain here that the Rambam says, because of birya. Because of birya. The egg is a birya. It's a creature, right? Remember, there was a dead chick inside. Dead birya's are also birya's. That's a birya. So what? So here's something very important. Remember, we always have to remember there's bittel of tam, or what we call plita, and there's bittel of the egg. Yes?
Why is the drop of blood a birya?
Because we are choshesh, the drop of blood is from an aborted embryonic chick that was forming in and might have formed enough to be considered a chalos animal and then have disintegrated. And therefore it's a birya.
Disintegrated, it's a birya.
Is there
anything else that
we... rather, let's say we say the... It's a good question, but we have to assume that... I have to go back and see exactly the Rambam's lashon. Maybe it's because since the egg is a unit, as long as that egg is growing an embryonic chick, that's called a birya. I'd have to double check before swearing on a Sefer Torah. Rambam says it's a birya. Now, hold on, what's the name of a birya? A birya is bottle in 61?
No.
Birya is not bottle at all, right? If you have a bug, even if you can't find the bug, right? So it's sure bottle in a Torah. You have one tiny bug in a fruit that's 3 million times its size. It's not bottle. According to many achronim, most achronim, because birya ain't a betela. So what does the Rambam here mean by birya is batal in 61? So he says like this. He says that the Rambam actually makes perfect sense. What is not batal about the birya? The ben or the tam?
The ben.
The ben, the tam of a birya is batal. Let's say I take a whole treif bird and I accidentally falls into my soup and I fish it out. And it was less than a 60th Beseder. The tam of a birya can be batal, only the birya itself can be batal. So says the Rambam, what's the klal? That when it comes to the birya be'en, ain't a betela, afilu be'elef. An elef lav davki, even in a billion or a trillion or whatever illions you want to make up. However, the pleitas ta'am from a birya is batel in 61. Why? Said the Rambam. The be'en of a birya, let's say mom, she just mixed up the eggs and you don't know which is which. It would not be batel even in 1,000 eggs. But here you just have, you found which egg is which, right? How do you know you had a tarovis? You cooked the eggs. Then when you crack one open, you saw a chicken side. Now you realize there is a tarovus of one treif egg with kosher eggs. So you know which it is. You were makir the be'en and threw it in the garbage. You just have the tam. It says, to remind you that the be'en of a birya is never batel, there it goes, the tam of a birya needs 61. As a reminder that a birya is special, so you won't think, says the Rambam. Let's say I have lots of bugs cooked in my coffee. And I strain them out and measure them. And they're exactly 1 to 60 ratio. So I go to my rabbi and say, I took out the birya. I only have the taste of the bugs. It's 1 to 60. So the rabbi says 1 to 60 batel, then what might I think? Next time, I might think even the bug itself, if it falls into my my thick stew, I can eat it with the bugs, this batel shishim. So the rabbi tells me, birya has special rules. In this case, it's usher unless you have 61. Because birya has many chumros. And then I remember that when something's a birya, it has many chumros, and every time there's a birya, I go back and ask the rabbi, and next time when it's not the taste of the birya, but the birya itself falls into my stew and I can't find it, the rabbi will say, whoa, the birya itself, the en, that's not batal even be'alef. So it's just a reminder of the uniqueness of birya. Says the Rashba, why? Because how do people measure eggs? Bittel of eggs. Do they measure like how many kazasim the egg is? How many kazasim the other eggs are? What do people generally do? They count the eggs. And the problem is, if they count the eggs, some eggs are bigger, some eggs are smaller. Maybe this egg is bigger and you didn't pay attention. So says the Rashba, really need 60, but because some eggs are above average, you require 61, because maybe the treif egg is above average of the kosher eggs. And therefore you need 61 to be mevatel, to be on the safe side. Because you're counting eggs. And if you want to do water displacement and count milliliters, it's batel in 60. But since people usually count eggs, it's only batel in 61.
Either way, they're ignoring the water in the pot.
Okay, that is a great question, which is either way, why are they ignoring the water in the pot? Because once you count the water in the pot, so it's not clear to me why the Rashba ignores the water in the pot. I can, after all, water also counts towards the 60. The only two theories I could come up with is A, he assumes that you'll also measure the water in the pot using eggs somehow, which is a little funny to me, or he wants to take into account when there's no water in the pot, like you made a big omelet or something, and without water in the pot. But you're right, it's a troubling thing. So I'll leave that a bit to Ian, because both my answers are duffing, that bothered me also.
How do you count the eggs and also afterwards? Say if you made them.
Oh, you know how many eggs you put in.
Yeah, but you can't remove
the bigger.
So if you know you put in 61, one treif and 60 kosher, it's treif. But if you know you put in 62, one egg and one treif and 61 kosher, it's kosher.
And all the shots that maybe one was larger than the other one.
Yeah, because if you just want the 60, maybe the one was a little larger. Right. So you have to be an Oscar. Now, it's, you could also ask on the Rashba, well, why is just 61 enough? How do you know how much the variation is?
Right.
So either he thinks the variation will be covered by 61 in most cases, they don't vary that much, which Sarah Ian from but I don't know what his Matthias was. Meaning the exact size of eggs is very context dependent in your time and place.
You could have smaller than a beta.
Right. So. Or it could be that he didn't actually need to cover all variations. He just needed to make the odds that it was kosher a rope. And if you have 61 to 1, the odds are more likely that it's batel than that it's not. Well, if you have 60 to 1, the odds are 50-50, and maybe then he had to be machmer. Okay, so that's my guess. Or else in his days, he checked and the eggs only varied by 1 to 60. Who knows?
Also, this fits nicely with your general shitas about like what's formal and taste.
Exactly. This fits the shitase of the general hakira of what 60 is all about, right? That's what you meant, Chesky? The Chesky?
Yeah.
Yes. Because what's the lumdus? The lumdus of 60 is that for the Rambam, it's a formal shear of otzem mi'uto, and therefore it makes sense they would add to it to symbolize something that has a formal chumrah. While for the Rashba, like Tosfos, it is a practical estimate of taste. And therefore, the only reason you require more than 60 is practically you might really need to, 61 might really be 60. This, of course, is l'shitasam in why Chal is in 59. Right, says the Rambam, because it's min d'rabbanan. Well, if 60 is a formal number, then to symbolize that the Rabbanans are not Doraisa, after all, you don't want to violate Baal Tosef and pretend the Rabbanans are Doraisa. You have to remind people the Rabbanans are not Doraisa, as the Kesef Mishnah points out in a different context. So they made it 59. Well, for the Rashba, for the Rashba, 61 is really trying to get 60. And likewise, for the Rashba, 59 is really trying to get 60. How so? Because remember, he says the kal is both
meat, and milk. So if you have 59, the chal counts for the meat to make it 60, and for the milk to make it 1, it's really 60 to 1. So the Rashba's L'shitase, 60 is just a measure of taste, 61 is really another way of saying 60, and 59 is another way of saying 60. The Rambam L'shitase, no, 60 is a formal chalos. Luckily, a Drabbanan formal chalos, unlike Rashi. And therefore, the Drabbanan fooled around with it when they wanted to remind you of something. It's just a random number Chazal picked. They're allowed to change it to remind you. When it's Drabbanan, they remind you the difference in Drabbanan derises by lowering it to 59. When it's a Birya, they remind you the other Chumra of Birya, of Be'en, by upping it to 61. Works out beautifully, L'shitasam. I mean, as things are supposed to. Okay, continuing in Se'ef Ches. Says the Mechaber, Kal Mosbata B'chamishim, B'tish B'chamishim, we already analyzed that. And the Rambam, Kol Yisur HaNogim Mizman HaZeh, Kulam Mizbat L'Mishishim, everything is Bat L'Mishishim, Milvad Chomitz Pesach V'ayin Nesach, Asher Nisbar V'Hil Choseim, except for Chomitz Pesach, we know it's an Isur Mashu, and Yayin Nesach is also an Isur Mashu. We paskin that, it's very complicated, I'm not getting to Halachol Maisa now, but in general, the Isur Mashu was only Yayin Nesach Mamish, that was Mamish poured out to an idol, not Stam Yenam. But even nowadays, there could be Yayin Nesach. Did I tell you the story about Berkeley? I have to tell you one story about Berkeley. I told you the story about Berkeley?
Yeah.
Tell you, there was once a gross guy who was very into creative writing. So he went to creative writing seminar one summer, maybe during college. And of course, for a proper creative writing seminar, you go to Berkeley, where everything's creative. So in Berkeley, he was eating out with a goyish friend of his, and he couldn't really eat very much. You know, he went to some place and got, I don't know, a fruit or whatever it is that kosher people can eat in trade restaurants. And he explained to his friend about kashrus. So his friend said to him, I have a good idea. Why don't we get a bottle of wine? Because, like he explained, what's the main concern in kashrus, of course, is animal-derived ingredients. He says, wine for sure is no animal-derived ingredients. It's all natural vegetable ingredients. So wine should be the most kosher thing ever. So let's get a bottle of wine. It's a good svara. So he explained to his friend that, that is a good svara, but there's this a drabbanan from the old days. They used to lie bait to their gods, etc. And he went through the whole thing with the Ayin Nesach. Okay, now, if this had been in Manhattan, this probably the story would have ended there, but this is in Berkeley. So the waiter comes over and says, I have to say, I apologize, I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but I was riveted, I couldn't help but follow your conversation, because you should know, I'm a neo-pagan, and whenever I open a bottle of wine, I always pour out some to the gods before I serve the rest of it. And it's so interesting to me to know that one of your Jewish ritual laws is based on my religious practice. That's so fascinating. And with that word, the waiter left them. And, you know, that's what happens when you go to Berkeley. Real Yayin Nesach happens even Bizman HaZeh, apparently. It's not only something from the old days. Okay, so if you have certainly real Yayin Nesach, we're not getting into Sam Yenam now, and Chavetz Pesach, it is Aser B'Mashehu. Now, the Shachir points out there are other exceptions that he just didn't bother to get into. What were the other exceptions he didn't bother to get into? And maybe because it's not clear. There's like, oops. He said, the Torah says something like, it's not their makom, which, like, does that mean it doesn't apply nowadays? Not true. These things do apply nowadays, even in Chutz Lord, certainly in Eretz Yisrael. Just means it's not discussing now. Really, there's in between. There's Kol Ha'isurim, which are in 60. There is Chametz and Yayin Nesach, which is Isser Mashu. But there are many in betweens. There are many Zrayim things that were left out. Why? Because this isn't the Malkum to discuss Zrayim. But what are the Zrayim things that were left out? What's the Shear Bittel of Truma?
100.
Is 100. What's the Shear Bittel of Arla? And Klai HaKerem?
200.
200. And what's the Shear of Tevel?
Never.
Right, Tevel is an Isser Mashahu. All of these things, however, are only Min Bimino. Shalom Bimino. The Yayin Nesach is also only Min Bimino, but Chametz is even even not. I don't know how to differentiate between them. But not chametz. Chametz is even shalom, that's why it's so chomer. Right, chametz is the only thing that's also more than 60 shalom amino. Everything else, bimino, truman 100, arlen klai karamin 200, tevel, and yayin esech, not at all. These could be halakha l'maisa nowadays, meaning not crazy to have these cases come up nowadays. Klai karamin less so, because, just you should know, lechatchila, there's an iser, even d'oraisa, to plant any species together. But, meaning, there's an iser gavra to plant any species together. But the iser chefts of klayan keren pentekidasha to nablea zer shetchdosh vasakarim that have become osirana afterwards is only for klayan keren. Not for klayzroim. Klayzroim are usher to plant on the gavra. But the chefta does not become treif. Only klayan keren becomes treif, which is if you plant other species in a vineyard. And that's not so shchich nowadays. I've seen a lot of vineyards. And people usually don't plant other species in the vineyard, from what I've seen. It's just not, it's not a very common thing that people plant other species in a vineyard. Even next to a vineyard, people usually don't plant without a fence because they're very concerned about vineyards. So it's not common nowadays. Orla is very common nowadays. Tevel and Trumuk are, Tevel's very common nowadays. You know, Trumuk, you could have a mess up. Okay, continuing the Rambah. When is there mitzvah shishim if you can't taste it? Avolim nosin tam ba'osach deira vu asmita atzmo. But if something is nosin tam into the gdeira and it's intrinsically aser, afilu be'elef lo batal goes manshav argishin taimo. It's not batal even a thousand as long as you can taste it. L'chein melech betavla mitvarim davidu l'taima. Salt and spices and other things that are made for strong taste. If they are intrinsically also ain't a batalim b'shishim, v'ayin l'kamen sof simen kofhei. Okay, this is the rule of milf that vidal time lo batla. What does it mean milsa davidal taima? Le taima is not bottle. Okay, we have to clarify a few things. First of all, what is that? Yeah.
According to the Ramah, the Shishim, about him thinking that nowadays we're not able to taste anything at all. So shouldn't the shear of 60 just be sufficient? And anything that you think is taste more isn't really taste? You should say that we can't, that you think you taste it, but that's not taste. The same way you can't rely on a taste for determining those things there.
No, or you know something is a vidal taima, so therefore it's usher forever.
So maybe certain things, if we know that, we say...
Yeah, only things we know.
But it's something that you think that you tasted, you should technically say, I don't have to worry about that.
Ah, well, that depends on the shachin levush, but it could be only lakuba we're not sevenchanim, but lachomer we are. Yeah. So, first of all, what's avidul taima? That's the discussion of the Taz. Meaning, everything's avidul taima. Shuman is avidul taima, right? What does avidul taima mean? So that's the discussion of the Taz. What does it mean, milsad avidul taima? It doesn't mean anything that gives taste. A lot of things that give taste, but only something that gives... What does avidul taima mean? Not anything used for taste, because meat is used for taste, and fat is used for taste. Those are batel b'shishim. But only concentrated taste. Only something which has a concentrated taste, like salt and spices. Or, nowadays, when would this come up? Concentrates. Right? Concentrates are avidul taima. They're not batel b'shishim. So only things that have a very, very strong concentrated taste. Not regular foods that give taste, like onions give taste, and tomatoes give taste, and meat gives taste, and fat and lard gives taste, and butter gives taste. No, not just ingredients that you add for taste. That's the happening of the Taz. Only ingredients with concentrated taste, that are like powders that add taste, like salt, spices, sugar, concentrated flavors. Those are the only things that are milsa davidu l'taima. And what does it mean, lo batla? What does it mean, lo batla? It's never batla, not in a million. It's lo batla if it might be tasteable. But what if you know it's not tasteable? What if one speck of treif pepper fell in a big soup? You know it's not tasteable.
If you know it's not tasteful, then it's batel. Right? It's only min hastam. And min hastam, it might be tasteable. But one speck is still batel. It's not like a chalos magic of that elephant batel. It's just practical. There's a rule of thumb that if there's 60 to 1, you can't taste it. But there are some things that are exceptions to the rule of thumb. Those are things with concentrated flavor. Those things, the rule of thumb is that you can always taste it. Unless you know you can't taste it, like one speck fell in, then it's batel. Right? But one speck is batel. However, since min hastam, you can taste it, you generally have to be machmir. The shachir says you can actually rely on a goy for this. You can actually rely on a goy for this. Why? Simple pshat seems to be, because he holds that, well, truth is not so clear. Because it might be because he thinks only Rabbanan, which we'll come back to. Well, that's funny, because we don't rely on a guy for tasting Rabbanans. Might be because he thinks the real reason for not relying on a guy is because of Rashi. Because we really need Shishim. But here we already have Shishim, you can rely on a guy. Well, that doesn't seem to fit the Shach himself. So it's a little unclear exactly what his reason is. But let's just deal with two important questions. One important question is, what if a spice is hanan from, let's say, treif meat or such? Do you say, since the spice is hanan, now it's not batel? Or do you say, no, it's no worse than the meat that made it hanan and it is batel? So, this is machlokes Rashbam and the Ri. Says the Rashbam, ain't no batel. Says the rebuttal. What's the machlokas? The Rashbam says, Hanan mamish mamish. It turns into inherently treif spices. Now it's not batel filo be'elef. The Ri says, no, Hanan just means it's as bad that it treated as usser. But it's no more usser than the meat that went into it. How do we paskin in this? What did we just read? That it's batel or not, b'shishim. If it's, what is this case? Meaning it's not intrinsically usher because of itself. It's only usher because it got usher by something else. So what's the halacha? I'll read you the Ramah. In no same time but usher k'deira v'hu usher mitzat atzmo, and it's intrinsically usher. Afilu be'elef lo batel. Kol zman shemikishin taimo. V'chein melech batal midvor david l'tayne im asur machmas atzmam. We only have this chomer if it's usher machmas atzmam. Not if it's usher machmas bliya. We paskin that no, it's only a problem if it's usher machmas atzmo. Only if it's intrinsically usher is there a problem with the little time, a little bottle. But if it's only bottle because it got ushered by something else, then that's not a problem. Because we paskin that chanan doesn't make it into an independent isser, just makes it a continuation of the original isser. So therefore, this doesn't come up a lot with salt and spices, because salt and spices are generally not intrinsically usser. Right? Maximum, they're usser because they were made on treif equipment. But that's not intrinsically usser, right? Maybe in Eretz Yisrael you can have issues with salt and spices intrinsically usser. But in Chutz La'aretz, you can never have salt and spices that are intrinsically usser. How do they get intrinsically usser? They made on treif equipment, it's only usser because it was bolei of the treif from the treif stuff. It's not intrinsically usser.
Salt.
What?
Salt.
How could salt become intrinsically usser?
Yeah, no.
Like Eretz Yisrael. Even Eretz Yisrael is hard to make intrinsically usser. It would have to be like a cube of salt that was thrown in front of an idol as a sacrifice, and then they swept up the pieces and sold it. I mean, basically, salt is never going to be intrinsically usser. Spices, extra in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutzar, it's never going to be intrinsically usser. However, what you could have is concentrated meat flavor. That, if it was made from treif meat, would be milz nevi d'l'tayma. Okay, the last question we have to ask is, lo batel, midrabanan or min hatorah? What's the pasuk shot? This is midrabanan lo batel or min hatorah lo batel? What would you think? Pasuk shot, this is d'oraisa not batel or midrabanan not batel? What's the level of iser here?
So
Pashim shot is midoraisa. Tom Kaker, you taste it. 60 was a rule of thumb, right? But you taste it. The Pashim shot is very clear. And this is what Rabbi Akiva Eger says in the name of the Ran and many other Achronim also. Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Ran and in the introduction of the Prima Gavin Tilchus Harubos, he quotes this from the Prichadash. He says, Taima Minatora, lo batel. What are you talking about? Says the Ran, Rabbi Akiva Eger. Who did I just quote? The Prichadash. Taima Minatora, lo batel. You can taste it. Who cares whether it's 1 in 60, 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000? That's just rule of thumb. But if you can taste it, you can taste it. It's a fact. The Shah here quotes me. It's a very surprising psak. Nope. It is batel min ha-Torah. Only midrabanan it's not batel. That's a very surprising kula. Because you can taste it. What's pshat in the strange shach in Isra Heter? So here, misvara, Rabbi Kiviger is much better off. If you can taste it, you can taste it. Tam Kiviger. What's pshat in the shach? So I can only think of two pshatim in the shach, and they're both difficult. One is what the Rav says. The Rav says, I don't have pshat in the shach, but I have pshat in the Isra Heter. The Isra Heter holds like the Ramah that has lina and basar shma, and that lo samchin and akfeila. He holds like Rashi that really we care about Shishim Midoraisa and not Tom. So the Rav says, now, then the Shach should never have quoted him. Because the Shach's the one. But, so what's the Svara? What's the Svara? So for the Isser V'Heter, you could say, Al Pi Rashi, that's exactly Shita's Rashi. More than a 60th is us Midoraisa. Less than a 60th, Tom is only Midrabanan. But that's not going to help the Shach. The whole point of the Shach is that Tom is the Reiser earlier. So for the Shach, the Prima Gadim says, I know Chesky asked me about this, I couldn't find the Prima Gadim that I saw. It's in the beginning of Chela Gimel, of his introduction to Hilchas Haruvos, says the Prima Gadim, it's not on the Shach, it's in the introduction, he says that, what is it, Tzarech Lomar, did Tom Kolosh lo Asur Torah? It's a Tom Kolosh. It's only a Tom Kolosh. It's a weak Tom. Tom Kolosh lo asra Torah. The Torah didn't ask for a weak Tom. And this is a very weak Tom. Now, I don't understand what this means. The whole point of that pepper is so strong that it's a strong Tom less than a 60th. It's not really a weak Tom. Meaning, if he had said, Taka, you can taste the tomato less than a 60th, I would have said, oh, man, that's a very weak Tom. That's not Kolosh and Midoraisa. But the fact that I can taste pepper less than a 60th, that still feels strong to me. It's a difficult svar. What does he mean? It's a Tom Kolosh. It tastes very strong to me. If I put in 1 to 60 ratio of pepper, trust me, it'll taste like a strong Tom. Even a 1 to 300 ratio of pepper will taste very strong. So maybe he just says, it must be a Tom Kolosh. It's difficult to understand the Shach. The Isser V'Heter I understand perfectly. He's a Rashi man. He doesn't care about Tom. He cares about Zerah V'Sheila. Wonderful, that's the Rav says. But the Shach doesn't make any sense. He's a Tom man. He says everything is Tom. So why all of a sudden does he quote the strangest of a Heter? Tzarech Ion, the Prima Gadim, is smarter than I am, and this is the best he can come up with, and I can't come up with anything better, but I admit, it's not intuitive. Like, why would I call that a Tom Kolosh? It seems strong to me. So I'll just leave it as a Tzarech Ion. Okay, Tzarech Ion. Let's see if we can quickly look at go through Sif Tess. I think we can finish the Sif. Kidei Rashi Yeshva Chamisha Mitisha Zaysim Heter. Nachlu Bashne Zaysim Echad Shal Dan VeEchad Shal Chelev. Kol Echad Mitzdarifim Chamishim Vitisha Shal Heter Levatel Chaveiro. Right, you have 59 Heter, 1 Chelev and 1 Dan. 1 Chelev, 59 Heter, and 1 Dan. Bittel, why? These two are mevatel this, and these two are mevatel this. The principle is, isurim count to mevatel other isurim. V'chein eser metishazeshim shal heter, sh'nafbam k'zayis chelev, v'v'kdere acheres ha'yu shloshim shal heter, v'nafbam to k'zayis shal dam, v'nis arvud b'shogeg mutter. Likewise, you have 59 plus 1 and 30 plus 1, you mix them by accident, because you're not supposed to mevatel isurim on purpose. Then it's batel, same case. there's a side problem here. The side problem here is, what about Hanan? After all, it happened in stages. First this, then that. When the first one fell in, shouldn't it be Hanan? Okay, so the Tana says, you're right. This is only for Sfardim that that this scenario would work, not for Ashkenazim. And the Shach says, no, you come up with some weird scenario where there's no Hanan for Ashkenazim. How do you come up with a scenario there's no Hanan for Ashkenazim? Either Shari Surim Lach Balach Bokam Hefsin Maruba, or he says, the Ramah, say you never knew it was mixed. According to Ramah, Hanan isn't Chal until you know it was mixed, even though the Shach himself disagrees. Okay, so let's get around the Hanan problem. The main iser, the main point is, this is the sheet of the Rush. Isurim mevatlim ze es ze. That's the main chat. An iser counts mevatl the other iser. Now, the dog omer vava comes down on this Rush like nobody's business. He says that's ridiculous. It's a machlokas and shas and we paskin. Isurim are not mevatl each other. So who's right? Trick question. Is the Mechaber and the Rush right that these Yisurim can mevatel each other? Or is the Dug and the Vavar right that the rule is Yisurim in mevatel Zetzah? Who's right? Both of them. Right. Why? Because the Rush had two reasons. And the Dug and the Vavar really only disproved the first. What were the Rush's two reasons? Number one, in theory, Yisurim mevatlin Zeh. Number two, practical. What's practical? Lemaisa. Can I taste the chalev? No. No, there's 60 other things in one chalev. I don't give any surim heterim. Let's say it was all mutter, I still couldn't taste it. Can I taste the dam? No. Lemaisa, I can't taste it. Don't give me lomdus. It's not tasteable. Even if I was a guy, I would say, well, I can't taste the dam because it's 1 to 60. Who cares what's asur or mutter? Practical is, I can't taste dam, and I can't taste chalev. The Dugomer Vava argues and disproves again and again and again the first svar of the Rush. He says, you're wrong, theoretically, sir, and I'm about to each other. And the answer is, the Dugomer Vava was right. We don't accept the first half of the Rush. We only accept the second half of the Rush. Taka Yisurim, theoretically, are not mevatel each other. If you're doing a bitl b'rov, or bitl b'meya, or bitl b'masayim, Yisurim are not mevatel each other. But here, we're talking about whether you can taste it. It's not a theoretical question of bitl. It's a practical question of taste. And lemaisa, you can't taste it. If you can't taste it, you can't taste it. And therefore, we paskin like the Rush, not for the first reason, which the Dogomer Vava disproved, but for the second reason. Therefore, we'll just end with a very pashut nafkamina. I'll fix this later. I just want to get myself one little box. It says, what if we have... Ready? Two Isurim that taste the same but are different Isurim. Taste the same but are different Isurim. Such as we have 59 Heter. One Tapuach of Arla. And one Tapuach of Tevel. Right? Now, if you help Yisurim and Mevatel each other, we might be in good shape here. But what would be Paskin in this case? Usur, because the Maisa, you can taste it. Right? Pashut Usur. This is called Beis Yisurim Vitam Echad. Pashut Usur, because the whole reason we're in Makel is because they're Mevatel each other's taste. But if they reinforce each other's taste, it's Usur. Last point, and then I will give the floor to Rabbeinu. What about the opposite case?
The
heter
there is
Mina
also?
The heter there is Eino Mina, let's say. What about the opposite case? There are a lot of details I'm not going to go into. What about the following case? What about if you have Isser Echad and Beis Tamim, such as 59 of heter, 1 Arla Lemon, and 1 of Arla, what tastes very different than lemon? Grape. One are the grape, one are the lemon, and 59 of tomatoes, whatever. What do you think? Should it be bottle or not?
Sure.
Based on what we decided, the ikar is not the chalos. The ikar is, can you taste it? Ramaisa, you can't taste it. However, this is a machlokes. Everyone agrees, the Prima Gadim explains, that midoraisa it's bottle because you can't taste it. However, the machlokes is whether there are gozer midrabanan to be machmir. So we will just put one little asterisk and make ourselves one little box. It says, min ha-Torah equals misvara. It's for sure a bottle because you can't taste it. However, lemaisa, it is a machlokes. Lemaisa says Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Prima Gadim, it is asur midrabanan in order to avoid confusion, and say the Imre Baruch and the Chazon Ish, it's mutter and they weren't gozer to avoid confusion, but your intuition was right, it should be batal, because we don't care about Yisurim Batal Zetzeh, we only care about whether you can taste it. However, the Imre Baruch and the Chazon Ish say mutter, but everyone agrees, and no rice it's batal, and svar it's batal because you can't taste it. They only argue, did the Rabbanan make a gzeira to avoid confusion? Okay, we'll pick up next time. Mir Hashem, don't take a picture yet. Let's see him in Sadi Tess.